weekends. Disciple Now is what that D Now stands for. And that's why they're wearing the gray t-shirts and that this morning. And so I want to, first of all, introduce our guest speaker, Dale Mason. Dale and I've been friends for a while now. He is the youth pastor at Fellowship Baptist in Saginaw. He's been there for 7 years. He has brought his students to our student camp over the years, and we've cultivated a great friendship. He's married to Helen for 22 years. God bless Helen. Amen. If you knew Dale, you would really say amen on that part. They have two wonderful children, James, who works at Riverbend, and Jema, who is attending TCC. And Dale, we're glad to have you here today. He is preaching this morning on Pastor Aaron Wills' recommendation. So if he messes up, we'll blame Aaron, all right? And now we're delighted to have Dale this morning. Now I've asked Brother Brack to come and share a little bit about D-Now and some of the students to share a little bit. And then without any further word, Brother Dale will come speak for us.
Well, it's always an exciting weekend when we do Disciple Now. We get plenty of sleep, and everybody's in bed at like 9, and they sleep until 8, something like that. If I fall asleep, no, I'm just kidding. But we really did have an awesome weekend. Got a couple of students here who are going to share with you some of the stuff that God's doing and some of the stuff that we were doing this weekend, and so I'm going to let them, and then I may say a word. So I'm going to have Caleb come first. So, come on.
Hi. In case you don't know me, I'm his son. I just wanted to start off by saying that I had a lot of fun this weekend, and I'm pretty sure everybody else did too. And one of the most impactful things that Mr. Dale talked about was when he said that a lot of people look to Google to find answers when they're having questions, but if you look to the Bible, that's going to tell us what we need to hear, not what we want to hear. But Google's just going to tell us what we want. So that was one of the most impactful things that happened this weekend. So I guess that's it.
Thanks, buddy. And believe it or not, I did not twist his arm to do that. So I really didn't. He came all on his own. So next, we've got a couple of girls that are like peas in a pod. We couldn't separate them, like, for any reason. So they're going to actually come and share a little word together. We've got Emery and Lauren. Come on up here.
I have a cheat sheet. Okay. Oh, thank you. So I had a great time this weekend when I was doing all the stuff that they planned and playing trivia crack with everyone. But aside from all that stuff, God taught me some things that were really important. Sometimes I feel like I don't have a real relationship with God, but I've tried a few times to get saved. And I learned that just because you don't feel like you have a real relationship with Him doesn't mean that you don't have a relationship at all. So I learned that God wants to have a relationship with me, that all I have to do to make that happen is to seek Him. And as long as you ask for Him, He'll take away all the weight that's holding you down. The end.
This weekend was one of the best weekends I've ever had. I liked playing all the games that we did, and I also got to learn a lot about God, and He taught me that if I'm worried about something, to talk to Him, and He'll help me. And I learned that whatever I do, I don't do it for Him, but I don't do it for my friends or family, but I'm doing it for Him.
So as Emery was saying, you know, sometimes you just kind of wonder, is God really there? But He is there. And many times we don't feel like he's there because we're not seeking him. He's always there. We're the ones that have stopped. And so God is really, he's opened some eyes and really been working this weekend. And we were really excited. We did, you'll hear him talk about whirly ball. We played whirly ball this weekend, which is a cross between bumper cars, lacrosse, and basketball. And that's really all I'm going to tell you. You can Google it. I don't think it's in the Bible. You might have to Google it to find out what whirly ball is. But it was a lot of fun. We had an awesome weekend. And Michael John Clement, who has done some worship stuff with us before, he's led camp a couple times and done some seminars for Ricky. And he came and led worship and just did a fabulous, fabulous job. And then Dale came and... So, just kidding. Dale did a... It's easier to pick on somebody when they're here. And but Dale did a fabulous job and really connected with the students. And I believe he's going to do that this morning when he comes and brings the word. So, Dale, why don't you come on and bring God's word to us.
So, thank you, sir. Well, I just want you to know I've already got the check, so it doesn't matter what I say this morning. Golly. Oh, goodness. Oh, First Baptist Church, Fort Worth, no pressure. I cannot tell you what an honor it is to be here today with you guys. You have no clue the impact that your pastoral staff has had on me. Every single one of them, you know, even some of the stories that... And I don't know Mike very well at all. I mean, I've met you maybe a couple of times, but even the stories Brack told on you this weekend were life-changing. Life-changing. So, and before, you know, before you come to a place, you want to know a little bit about them. And so I kind of started doing a little bit of research about at first. And, man, over the last 150 years, just how God has used this group of believers. Man, thank you guys so much. It's overwhelming. And for somebody who's directly impacted, taking my kids to y'all's camp, meeting with Brack and with Don and with Dave and running into Ricky and hearing stories about Mike and just his ministry. No, you laugh. I'm serious. But his ministry here at First Baptist, guys, it's a blessing to be here. And I was at a conference a few weeks ago, and John Piper was there, and he was giving us, this is what I do right before I get up and speak, and it's called APTAT. Okay, APTAT, what is that? It's admit, pray, trust, act, and then think. And so as I was sitting here this morning praying before I got up, so I've taken this and put it to work in my life, so the conference was fruitful. Just kind of thinking about men that have stood right here. Paige Patterson, J. Frank Norris, J. Morgan Wells, Ergen Canner, and then every Sunday, Don Wills. My exact words was, God, please don't let me screw this up. Humanly, I stand here honestly a little intimidated. You need to understand a little bit about who I am. I come from a podunk hick town called Baird, Texas. Now, if you've ever been to Abilene, you've been through there, though you may not know it. Okay? Amen. Amen. That's right. It is bump and you're done, all right? I did graduate 18th in my class, though. There's 32 of us. I didn't need to tell you that, I don't guess. And I graduated from Liberty University. Well, it wasn't magna cum laude. It was how laude? I don't know how I got through this. It wasn't praise the laude. It was, I don't know how this happened. Beyond that, though, I struggle with hurts and habits and hang-ups. About 5 years ago, I was introduced to a ministry called Celebrate Recovery because I'd kind of come to the end of who I am. God, this is not what I believe you want me to be. And so, Lord, what are you doing in my life? And my pastor, by the grace of God, didn't fire me. And he said, Dale, I think this would be a thing to help you out. And through the ministry of Celebrate Recovery, I found out that broken crayons still color. Guys, I stand before you today. I'm just a broken crayon. That's it. You know, I'm not that smart. I'm not that intelligent. I'm just a humble servant of the King. That's it. Okay? And so, because broken crayons still color, and as a believer in Jesus Christ, I have the same Holy Spirit living, breathing inside of me that spoke through Paul in the book of Acts where 3,000 people got saved. As a believer in Jesus Christ, I stand before you today empowered. In my flesh, I'm very intimidated. As a believer in Jesus Christ, I'm confident in what the Holy Spirit's going to do here this morning. All right? This past weekend, I had the opportunity of meeting with your students, some of the greatest students that I've ever had the opportunity to work with at First. This is the second time I've actually spoken to students here. And the first time, Dakota was in the youth. And, well, we'll stop there. Okay, Dakota. I know Dakota pretty well. He was my son's roommate when they were at Hardin-Simmons together. And then they both fell out of God's will. And now they're doing... No, I'm kidding. So we talked about going from being spiritually asleep to being spiritually alive. We talked about going from being weighed down by the dead weight of our sins to casting off that baggage and able to carry out what the Lord has asked us to do. And then we talked about Christ shining his light on you so that you can go and be a light for the world to see, exposing darkness wherever we go. And this morning, what I want to talk to you about, kind of put a bow on Disciple Now, is I want to talk to you about our identity in Christ. Who we are in Christ, okay? And our identity is kind of all in our name, our title, our reputation, isn't it? Okay, so let's talk about your staff for a second. They've taken pop shots at me already, so why not? Turnabout's fair play, okay? So Mike, y'all don't have a clue what's about to come out of my mouth and you're already laughing. So Mike, the ministry that he does here with the senior adults is one that is thriving, it's growing. And Mike doesn't have a problem speaking his mind. And beyond that, Mike, I just have to stop, okay? I'm just being honest with you. Ricky. Well, Ricky, I've seen up here leading. And Ricky has been a man that's kind of behind the scenes at camp and making sure sound goes on, and appreciate his ministry. And then there's Dave. I don't even know what you call Dave. You know, Dave? Is it Brother Dave? Pastor Dave? Brother David? Brother Rutherford? Maybe. What about Brack? Dr. Buckles. Just between you and I, if I'm ill, I'm not going there. Okay. And that brings me to the Don. Godfather. So, will you be my friend, Godfather? This morning we're going to open our Bibles up to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, guys. And this message this morning isn't necessarily one that I can go, yeah, I can't wait to preach about this, because if just being transparent, I've wrestled, all right? I was telling Brother Don earlier, I've kind of traveled and spoke before, and I know the weight of preaching and taking seriously carrying God's word to his people. But I've never had weight like this where I've wrestled with God. And every single time, God, are you sure? Yes. Are you positive? Yes. And my wife can attest to this. We have prayed multiple times together as a couple seeking God. And every single time he's brought me back here. Okay? And guys, you have to understand, I'm a simple country boy. I'm not a deep theologian. Okay? Now I know words like, and what they mean, words like eschatology and ecclesiology and hermeneutics, and I know how to do all of these things, okay? I know what ecumenical means and pneumatology and premillennial, dispensational, postmodern, amillennial, postmillennial. I know all of these things, and I know how to sit here and talk about them, okay? I can actually stand up here before you and preach and preach a expository message, okay, that talks about the eternal ramifications of premillennial dispensationalism in a postmodern world. I can do that. Now to sum that all of that up for you, it means that a person who has a postmodern worldview, their destination is hell because they don't know Jesus. Okay? Once they trust Jesus, their destination changes. So to sum all of that up, okay, so I can do that, but that's not really who I am. I got to be honest, like the coat and tie, this, you come to my house and I've got like a dry fit camouflage shirt on, and depending on what I'm doing, shorts, jeans, and tennis shoes or boots, all right, that's me. And this morning, I kind of feel like Paul. I imagine this is what he had to feel like when he wrote to the church at Rome. Hasn't really met the brethren. Knew of them. Knew of the work God had done in them. But hadn't really met the brethren. And just wrote this vast, encouraging letter. And that's kind of how I feel today. All right? So let's stand for the honor of the reading of God's word. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." God, would you move among us today? Would you encourage those in this room who are believers in Jesus Christ? Those who have professed your Son as Lord and Savior, would you be an encouragement? Would your Holy Spirit speak to them today? And Lord, for those who haven't, God, would your Spirit move in their heart to draw them to you? It's in Christ's name I pray, amen. May God honor the reading of his word. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, Paul says, "In my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in wisdom of men, but in the power of God." That's, God sent me here to encourage you this morning. That's it. I'm here to encourage you. All right? And so we're gonna just take just a minute here and kind of break this down. Now, I didn't tell you students this. There is that for everything that you need to know in life, you can find the answer here. Okay? And whenever you see a therefore, you need to ask the question, what is the therefore, therefore? Well, that's your homework this afternoon. The Cowboys aren't playing. You can go home and do some research, all right? So therefore, all right? Go back and read the previous verses. And then you have this word, if. If is conditional. It's conditional. If anyone, look around the room. Just look around the room. That's you guys. Anyone is in Christ. That means if they are a believer, he is a new creation. Now we're going to break down new and creation. New, and I'm going to blow these Greek pronunciations, all right? But I love words. I just can't pronounce them very well, okay? I believe that it's neon, and it means new, but it's recent, okay? New, but recent. So, you know, if Brother Don were to go get a haircut, it would be new, but it would be recent, right? Right? Okay? But then you have this word, it's not koine, but it's, I think it's kene. And this is what it means. It says, it is what is new in nature, different from the usual, impressive, better than the old, superior. And when you look at these two meanings of new, it's not the neon, it's the kene that Paul wrote. You are a new, you are a better, an impressive, different from what you were, what you usually are. Creation. Creation, there, you look it up and it means something that was never created before. Something never created before. And then the old has passed, and behold, all things have become new. We don't need to break that down. So we understand that. So what does this actually mean for our identity in Christ? Our identity in Jesus the Messiah is conditional based on whether we have a personal relationship with Jesus or not. So let's talk about what being made new means. There was a transitional moment for us. We may have forgotten what that moment entailed. Why is that? Because of something called familiarity. Now, there's a danger of familiarity. Paul Tripp spoke about it. What he said. He said, the longer I hold on to something, the greater the danger of me taking it for granted. So this morning, God wants me to remind you who you are in Christ. Now, think back. Think back to when you first trusted Christ. Just close your eyes and just think for a second. Understand, before, you were not accepted by Christ. You were separated from God. But now, you're made new. And here's what the Word of God tells you about who you are. As a new creation, your identity, and I'm going to give you three things, okay? As a new creation, your identity in Christ means that you are accepted in Christ. You were dead to Him, but now, according to John chapter 1, verse 12, you are now a child of God. You used to be an enemy, but no longer, according to John chapter 15. I did that last night. There's nothing more embarrassing than saying, James chapter 15 says. I'll wait for the rest of you to know that James doesn't have 15 chapters. And then to be called out by the worship leader. John chapter 15, verse 15. You used to be an enemy of God, but no longer. You are a friend of Christ. You used to be guilty, but now according to Romans 5:1, you've been justified in Christ. You were separated from Christ, but now, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, you are united with Christ and one with Him in spirit. You used to belong to the enemy, but now, oh, this is good. You used to belong to the enemy, but now you have been bought with the price. You belong to God. You were separated from God, but now you are a member of Christ's body. You were lost, and now, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, you are a saint. You were an orphan, but now you've been adopted as God's child, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. You had no clue how to commune with God as an unbeliever. Now, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, you have direct access to God through the Holy Spirit. You were in a debt you could not afford to pay. And now you've been redeemed and forgiven of all your sins. That's the power of God. You were a mess, and now you are complete in Christ. That is because you are accepted in Christ. Not only are you accepted in Christ, but you are secure in Christ. As a new creation, you are accepted in Christ and you are secure in Christ. You were condemned because of your unbelief, and now Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2 tells us that you are free from ever. Free forever. Free from ever. Makes no sense, Dale. Free forever from all condemnation. You had no clue why bad things happen to good people. And now, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 28, you know that all things work together for the good of God, for those who are called according to His purpose. You used to sit guilty of sin, and now you are free from any condemning charges, Romans chapter 8, verse 33 and 34. You were alienated from God, and now you cannot be separated from the love of God. You had no fellowship with God, but now you have been established, anointed, sealed, and set apart by God. You had no idea of purpose, and now you are confident that the work that God has begun in you, He will perfect in you. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 says, "You were a citizen of, you are a citizen of heaven." Remember, your address was a different destination. Your address was somewhere in Hades, somewhere in hell, somewhere in the eternal lake of fire. And the day you trusted Christ, your eternal address changed from eternal torment to the presence of Jesus. That's good. You have had every reason to doubt. Not anymore. Not anymore. There's no reason to doubt. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. You have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound mind. You used to tremble in fear of being judged and struck by lightning from a guy who sits on a throne with a lightning bolt because he's vicious and he's vengeful. That's not what my Bible tells me. Now you can come boldly to find mercy and grace in a time of need. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. And that really was my view of God. He was up there on the clouds just waiting for me to mess up. That's not who God is. It's not saying He won't discipline His children. He's still my daddy. But He's loving and caring. If He wasn't loving, why would He have sent His one and only begotten Son to die for us? You were of your father, the devil. Now you are born of God, and the evil one has no legal claim over you. There is nothing that he can do, nothing that he can say to take you out of the hand of the righteous one. You are accepted in Christ. You are secure in Christ, and you are significant in Christ. It doesn't matter what your story is. If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are blood bought. Before you trusted Christ, you weren't even fit for the manure pile. Now, you're the salt of the earth and a light to the world. You are fuel for the fire. Now, John chapter 15, verse 5, you are a branch of the true vine. As part of the vine, John chapter 15, verse 5 also says, you've been chosen and appointed to bear fruit. God has set up the spread of the gospel to come from the lips of believers. And according to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you are a personal witness to that and of that. Guys, there's significance in your life. He has called you out and He has set you apart for you to be a light to your neighborhood, a light to your neighbors, a light to your family, a light to your friends at school. Maybe even a light to your parents. You were a wrecking ball. Not any longer. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, you are God's temple. You were a priest of brokenness. Now, you're a minister of reconciliation. You were God's enemy. Now, you're a co-worker. Think about that. Imagine this. Just imagine. What if the people that are fighting for ISIS got saved? They're no longer an enemy. They're a co-worker for the kingdom. You were asleep in your sin. Now, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, you are seated with Christ in the heavenly realm. You are enslaved to sin and doubt. Now, you may approach God with freedom and confidence. You had no hope. As an unbeliever, there was nothing that you had. There was no hope of anything. Now, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, you can endure all things through Christ who gives you strength. You have the hope and the assurance. And guys, listen, you're significant. You were created by Him. You were created for Him. You are God's workmanship. I told you I did some research and some history about who First Baptist Fort Worth was. Here's what I want to know. Who's First Baptist Fort Worth going to be? What do the next 150 years look like? And what part do you play? There have been men and women sitting here before me that are champions for Christ, that have the power to change a city. Leadership is influence. Nothing more, nothing less. I didn't even say that. John Maxwell said that. And he's the leadership guru, so he's got to be right. How do you leverage your influence for the kingdom of God, knowing that you are a child of the King, knowing that you are accepted, knowing that you are secure, knowing that you are significant? How do you leverage your influence? Maybe here's a better question to ask this morning. What do your attitudes, actions, and words say about your identity in Christ? Do they depict Scripture? Or does it look like you've got another uniform on pitching for the other team? I'm just asking. I don't know you. I don't know your story. What kind of influence are you going to have in the days and years to come? The next 150 years, what's going to be the story of First Baptist Fort Worth? Do the things that come out of the mouth show that you're a new creation? Are you like a gong, a clanging cymbal, kind of like the rest of the world? I don't mean First Baptist Fort Worth, I mean you. If I was to go hang out with you and your friends, I wonder, would you talk the same around them if I weren't there? That's Jesus asking that question, if he's present with you. Not me. I mean, who cares? I don't care what you say. Well, that's not true. I do, but I mean, you're not going to offend me very much. What about what you put in your ears? What are the things that you're listening to? Okay, and it could literally be like your headphones, kids, the music you listen to, or secluding yourself on your iPhone or your tablet to the point that you're watching Netflix and you're in the room, but you're not participating. You're just collecting dust. You with me? Maybe if you're honest with me this morning, you'd say, Pastor Dale, I've never thought about that. I've never thought about who I am in Christ. Like, I know that, but I've never really put much thought to it. And now that I think about it, you know what? I'm not doing a very good job. I'll tell you something, guys. Broken crayons still color. There's still forgiveness at the foot of the cross. Grace still abounds. I stand before you as a broken crayon. Some of the stuff that I was started dealing with 5 years ago, stuff that I've been dealing with my whole life. And you know what? God had used me before that. You know what? He's using me after that. I stand before you today, and I'd love to tell you I don't ever give in to the lies of the enemy. That's not true. I'm a human being. I'm a broken crayon. But I got news for you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24 says, to put on the new man which was created according to God in righteousness and holiness. And so if Paul were here today, this is what I believe he would tell you. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And then I believe he would say this. And don't forget, we're surrounded by this huge cloud of witnesses. And so let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily entangles us and ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Every head bowed, every eye closed.